So welcome to tonight's service. Let's open in prayer. Father God, just thank you so much for this set-aside, carved-out time that we each have tonight to just spend time with you, to see what it is you have for each one of us. Thankful for each person that said pause in their schedule to come here tonight. And I pray that each one of them is met and how they each need it most. Amen. Be at peace as you listen for the Holy One. Our reading tonight comes from various verses from Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in him. allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will help make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in him. During the silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer for you or another. And for those wishing to give a tithe or an offering, you can bring it up when you come to light a candle, take communion, or when you exit the worship center. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in him. Our final reading. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in him. So I love how John Wesley makes it pretty simple for we Methodists, right? Three rules. Do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. Cuts to the chase. I like that. So we could actually take lots of time going into each one of those simple rules, because it's a lot difficult to live out in our everyday life than they first appear. But one thing is for sure, for us to like live out those three simple rules in their full meaning, our hearts have to be changed from this inside out. And doing that requires this ongoing connection and deepening of our relationship with God. So Henry Nouwen, who's one of my faves, he was a modern priest and professor, writer, and theologian, and I liked him because he had this pastoral ministry side along with psychology, and he had really neat writings. And in his book, Making All Things New, An Invitation to the Spiritual Life, he sought to answer just two questions. What does it mean to live a spiritual life, and how do we live it? So he defines the spiritual life as the active presence of God's Spirit in the midst of a worried-filled existence. So this life becomes possible when we slowly create and we free up inner space in our really busy-filled lives that allows God's Spirit to become present to us. So now, and he goes on to say that we live in this worry-filled world. We're occupied and we're preoccupied with many things, while at the same time, we actually are bored, depressed, and very lonely. So we're filled and yet unfulfilled. Some live a life so full of worries that they're unable to even imagine life without worries, some kind of carefree existence. They can't even ponder that concept. They live armored actually for the battle of worry, all the while Jesus then tells us not to worry. So we desire the life that God provides for us, and that's what we really would love. Right? Who would not like a carefree existence? But it's so radically different than what we're used to that even aspiring to it kind of seems unrealistic. How can we move from our fragmented lives to one where there's just one necessary thing, a life in the Spirit? So the struggle is real to actually allow God's Spirit to work in us and change us, to recreate us. But with well-planned use of key spiritual practices, it's possible, and the results actually are astoundingly freeing, because God makes all things new. But of all the many spiritual disciplines that are available to Christians to help us develop a deeper relationship with God, I found it interesting that Nouwen, in his book, he only chose to select two and to focus on two of them, solitude and community, as the key to removing obstacles that keep us from listening to God's voice that's within us. So he speaks of how God's Spirit is active within us all the time, but we're unable to hear it if we don't provide margins of time set aside to practice being with him. Our goal becomes actually just hearing his small voice, then being changed by it, and then seeking the Spirit in all we do. And as we begin to hear that voice in our silence, then we become better able to hear it when we're out about in our day. All of a sudden, you start hearing him where you never heard him before. But first, we have to quiet ourselves. And so tonight, I thought we'd focus on solitude, because if you want to learn about community, join the church-wide study, because we'll be talking about it for 8 weeks. So feel free to join us. So solitude, what is it? It's spending time in the presence of God, where we can listen to his voice in the midst of our many concerns. We set our sights on this time with God so that we're better able then to set our hearts on his kingdom. For many of us, quiet time with God could seem and feel really unnerving at first. However, for you folks, it might be easier because you at least come here every week and it's unnervingly quiet. How do we do it? How do we be quiet? So first of all, there's a physical aspect of solitude. And it's about keeping it simple. We want a simple, sacred space. So at times when you're at your home, you would love to create this quiet space. I call it sacred spaces. It's really hard for me to be in a sacred mode whenever I have clutter around me. So even if it's as simple as taking a chair, turning it away from the clutter, even if you need a blanket to hide everything, and you just have one view that is uncluttered, that you can create this sacred space. Maybe a candle, a Bible, a journal, a hand-holding cross, an icon, something that is special to you that helps you connect to God. What's funny is there's a friend of mine here at church, and she and her husband downsized from where they had multiple living areas and she could get away for some quiet to where there was none. They had one living area. So what she ended up doing for her sacred space is the master bedroom closet. She literally went in there and she cleared out a space and made her sacred space in the closet. And there was a sign, or actually the husband knew, if that door was closed, I'm in my sacred space, don't come in. So she found a way to still create it because it was that important. So that's great for when you're at home, but then we have what we call on-the-go solitude moments. Because I don't know about you, but I doubt that sacred time in the morning is enough fuel to last you all day long, so you might need some boosters of your solitude. So we can do that throughout the day. So it's about finding whatever thing during the day provides you that solitude. For me, on the go could be a quiet car ride, turning everything off. It could also be just during the day taking periodic pauses, literally stopping what you're doing even for 5 minutes and doing whatever it is your practice of solitude is. In moments of that kind of chaos when you're starting to get unsettled, you pause right then instead of letting it spiral and you go into a place of solitude. And for some, like, where's mine? You know how you have a to-go cup? And you don't leave home without your to-go cup. So you can have a to-go little bag of solitude. So this is mine. So in it, I have like a handheld cross, and I have a stone that's a heart because I'm tactile and I like the way it feels, so it goes with me. I have prayer beads, which are actually kind of cool. Someone in the ministry makes them, and she has a way that you can pray them. There's little breaks in them. But I just kind of like the way they look and feel. Oh, I have something for anxiety that you twist and hang on to, and it's touchy. So those are things that I just have like in my to-go bag, so that's easy enough to take solitude with you on the go, something to help you get in the mode. And so while we have our time at home and we have on-the-go kind of things, it's also kind of cool to have longer periods of time where you can have some sacred space with him and some solitude. And that could be where you actually go out in nature, or you can go on a retreat if you've ever tried a silent retreat. That's rather daunting but really cool. And just any place that you can go for a little bit longer period of time to help you just enter into more of a space with him is super cool. And it adds a different dimension than smaller time periods. So beginning the discipline of solitude, it's kind of just like starting a workout plan, right? It takes a little bit to build up those solitude muscles. So at first, you might start out with these little tiny moments of solitude. How many of you, when you first came to the meditative service and you were in silence for 5 minutes, felt like it was about a year, right? And how many of you do your to-do list or, I don't know, run your mind through all kinds of things? Initially, it was really hard. And then suddenly, 5 minutes didn't become so bad all the time. So we just start out with these small times, and just like when you kind of oops when you're working out, your mind wanders and you gently bring it back over and like over and over again. Because I can tell you what, God is just tickled pink that you're trying, right? He's not sitting here judging you saying, oh, Eileen, you only got to like 30 seconds of that silent solitude with me. Better do better next time. No, he's just like, thank you, Eileen, for giving me 30 seconds of your time. I'm so happy and joy-filled, right? So anything counts. So also, just as when we're learning a workout routine, we're kind of clueless what to do. We think solitude is some big thing to do, and there's some process, and we should be doing something or something different. But as long as we're quieting ourselves and opening our hearts and our ears to hear, we're actually exactly where we need to be. That's all he asks us of. Just be there, be quiet, become open. Solitude seriously is just creating a space for God to reach you. That could be sitting completely quiet in his presence, not rambling about anything, just being quiet. It could be reading scripture and doing like what we do today and you meditate on it. It could be time spent imagining him in your presence. Maybe it's, you know, reading and then asking him how that applies to you. What does Jesus want you to receive from what you read? Maybe it's getting quiet and asking Jesus what is getting most in your way of becoming the person that he knows you are and he wants you to become. The avenues are endless. The willingness to create time and space regularly is all that's needed to make a difference in our spiritual life. So slowly as we practice, we're able to be in solitude longer stretches, and we can do that either increasing our repetitions over the course of the day or the week, or maybe longer workouts. We go for a little bit longer time. Before we know it, we actually find ourselves missing the time when we don't do it. So once we've had it and we can experience it, that's what's really good, because when you stop, and I can promise you, unless you're so good that you never fail on any of your spiritual practices, you're going to falter and you're going to go, something feels different now than it did yesterday or last week. Oh, I haven't carved out my God time. So let me get back to that because I felt different when I did. And that's all you do. You just pop right back in it. So we do live life differently when we've included time in solitude. And we become more aware of where God is, and then he starts to shift us. He gives us so much information about who we are that then if we pay attention, he walks alongside of us to help us change that and change ourselves. So this ability to be in solitude actually becomes this anchor to Jesus when you have our difficult times, right? When it's because we've gone to him in our solitude that we can go back to him. And what I like is to be reminded about solitude and the importance of taking the time out. I was at a conference. I was invited to one on Saturday. And it was going to be 5 hours. And it's my kind of stuff. It's on healing care, and it was about meeting Jesus in the storms. And my buddy was leading it, and a friend of mine asked me to go. And so I was going to say no. When I was going to say no because I'm painting my son's house, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm busy, and I could have done tons of other things. But thankfully, I went, because he intertwined times of silence and quiet to meet Jesus like 4 times during that 5 hours. So along with learning, I got to experience him how I'm used to experiencing him, and in ways that I had moved away from. So for me, it was like a coming back home. And so when we take those times, it's always fruitful. And we always gain from it. And so now, again, I got to be reminded of how much I love doing that and how much I miss it. So the beauty of solitude, once we've kind of grounded ourselves in it and what it feels like, is we get to take that feeling with us throughout our days and tap into it as needed to live more from this place of peace as we deal with the inevitable storms in life. And the picture, y'all can see it on that screen up there, the covered bridge, it was my absolute favorite place for connecting with Jesus back in like 2013 or 14. It covered all my bases for me. First of all, it was in nature, places to walk, really quiet except for the babbling stream and some birds chirping. There was a place for me to sit and soak it all in, which was that covered bridge. If you can see, there's a bench here on the outside, juts out. Jesus would sit there and hang out with me. I'm always on the right side. He's always on my left side. And unless it's a come to Jesus time, there's actually a bench like that on the other side of the bridge. And sometimes he would be on the other side because he's got a come to Jesus chat to have with me. But that was just our space. And what was so cool, it was called Blessed Foundation in Medina, but they sold it. But I would literally take hours and take myself there because I knew when I was there, he would just meet me in so many ways and I could feel his presence. And that bridge actually became so meaningful to me because it was peaceful and it was my safe place that it's now my screensaver on my phone. So that bridge goes with me everywhere I go. And because I took time to meet Jesus in that place on that bridge, I don't have to go physically to that bridge anymore. All I have to do is close my eyes and I'm back on that bridge. So that's the beauty of having whatever your sacred space is or wherever you connect most with Jesus is you can close your eyes and go there on a moment's notice. You can feel his presence because you've practiced being in his presence in other places, and then you just take that with you. So as we close tonight, I just encourage you to set aside the time to practice solitude on a regular basis, to find ways to enhance your practice with hopes of continuing to allow space for God to meet us and this quiet place for us to hear him.